Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, the first day of the fifth month, the month of Av. We ask, Father, that you would be with your servants, that you would bless us, that you would enlighten us, Father, as we seek to grow in your grace and knowledge and look into your word. You've commanded us, Father, to come before you on the new moon day, as well as the Sabbath and the feast days, to give glory to you. We ask that you would open our hearts and our minds and enlighten us and continue to bless us, Father, from your word. And we thank you for the many blessings you've bestowed upon your people. Help us, Father, to draw closer to you as we seek to gain a greater blessing from you, Father, the only one that can give eternal life. We love you, and we thank you. And we ask, Father, that your blessings would be upon us and that you would open our hearts to receive the love that you've manifested to each and every one of us through your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. And Father, we thank you for his great sacrifice, because we know that without him and his shed blood, we would still be in our sins. So help us, Father, to be repentant sinners, to overcome this life and Satan the devil. Help us to be faithful in all things as we seek to do your will and do that which is right in your sight. Again, Father, we ask that you bless all those that have a petition before you, who are on the prayer list, who are seeking a blessing from you. Continue, Father, to touch their hearts, their bodies, their minds, and answer their prayers, Father. Show them that you are real and that you are true, you, the only living now. And your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, Father, whose blood cleanses all our sins. And we thank you for that great sacrifice. In Yahshua's holy name we pray. Hallelujah. The month of Av. I've entitled this message, The Month of Av. Av is A-V. And the word Av in Hebrew, it means father. And it's very interesting and important that we understand the meaning. Every word has a meaning in the Hebrew language. We're going to start over in Psalm 81. Psalm 81. Verse 1 says, sing aloud. Sing aloud to Elohim our strength. Make a joyful noise to the Elohim of Jacob. Raise a song and bring here the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow the trumpet at the new moon, full moon, and on our feast day, for it is a statute for Israel. A statute is a law. It's something that has been set in place for us to keep, to do. So it's a statute for Israel, those who rule with El, to perform an ordinance of the Elohim of Jacob. He appointed it in Joseph for a testimony when he went out over the land of Egypt. For I heard a language that I knew not. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were freed from the basket. They were delivered out of Egypt. You called in trouble, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I proved you at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify to you. O Israel, if you would listen to me, there shall no strange El be in you, neither shall you worship any foreign El. If we listen to Yahweh, we won't be demon-possessed. We won't be out there worshiping these idols, the dumb idols. Verse 10, I am Yahweh your Elohim who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Remember, Egypt is synonymous with sin. So when we read this, we can say for ourselves that Yahweh has brought us out of sin, out of the land of sin. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people listened not to my voice, and Israel did not consent to me. So I let them go after the stubbornness of their heart, that they might walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. The haters of Yahweh should submit themselves to him, but their time should endure forever. He would feed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock would I satisfy you. Almighty Yahweh can give us the blessing from on high. He can give us everything that we need. And he does. He provides for us. But again, we have to be like those who are faithful, because Israel was not faithful. Kodesh Av, the month of Av on the biblical calendar, is the fifth month of the year, counting from Nisan or Av. It's called Av. In Jewish tradition, the month of Av is traditionally regarded as the most tragic in the Jewish calendar. On the first day of this month, Aaron, the high priest of Israel, died. We'll turn over there in Numbers chapter 33. Numbers chapter 33. And we'll start in verse 13. It says, and they journeyed from Kadesh and encamped in Nahor, in the edge of the land of Edom. And Aaron the priest went up into Mount Hor at the commandment of Yahweh and died there, in the 40th year after the children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt, in the fifth month, on the first day of the month. And Aaron was 123 years old when he died in Mount Hor. He died on the first day of the fifth month. And that's symbolic because he was considered the high priest. Now, the next thing that happened in the month of Av was that both the first and second temples were destroyed on the ninth of Av. And this is the ninth of Av, or in the Hebrew, Tishba Av, is the lowest point of a three-week period of mourning that began with the fast of Tammuz, the 17th of Tammuz, undertaken to recall the first breach in the walls of Jerusalem by the Babylonians before the first temple was destroyed, and during this period, weddings and parties are forbidden. It is a time of solemn reflection and mourning for Israel. The temple itself was destroyed 3 weeks later on the 9th of Av. Now, during this time between the 17th of Tammuz in the fourth month and the 9th of Av is called Between the Straits. It's 3 weeks of sorrow, as mentioned, as I mentioned about the fast of Tammuz, marks the beginning of the 3 weeks of sorrow, or what they call Between the Straits. It's a 21-day period of national mourning, which is completed on Tish B'Av. The Mishnah further associates the fast of Tammuz as the fast of the fourth month, which they refer to in the scriptures, mentioned by the prophet Zechariah. The purpose of this fast is to instill a sense of teshuvah, or repentance, return to Yahweh, by recalling specific tragedies that befell the Jewish people because of idolatry, because they went into the worship of the pagan idols. See, we know that Yahweh is the only true Elohim. He is our only true Father. And this month is symbolic of that teshuvah, repentance. Now, turn to Ezra chapter 6. Ezra chapter 7, and we'll start in verse 6. He gives the genealogy of Ezra, starting in verse 1. Verse 6, it says, "This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, had given. And the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of Yahweh, his Elohim, upon him. And there went up some of the children of Israel, and of the priests, and the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the Nethinim, to Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. For upon the first day of the first month he began to go up from Babylon. On the first day of the fifth month he came to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his Elohim upon him. For Ezra has set his heart to seek the law of Yahweh, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and ordinances." So Ezra had it in his heart to teach the law of Yahweh and to do his will. It's important that we understand this, because not everyone that seeks Yahweh comes to that level of knowledge. The scribes knew every yod, which is the smallest Hebrew letter of the alphabet, and every tittle, which is the smallest decoration that was in the law. They know, and they can tell you if something's missing when they look at the text in the Hebrew. Turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. It says, "Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass away from the law, till all things be accomplished. Whoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever shall do and teach them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." So we see here that we have to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, did the scribes and Pharisees know the law? Absolutely. Did they teach the law? Absolutely. But they were hypocrites. That's why in Matthew 23, if you'll turn over there, Matthew 23, and we'll start in verse 1. "Then spoke Yahshua to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. All things, therefore, whatever they bid you, these do and observe. But do not you after their works. For they say and do not. Yes, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with their finger. But all their works they do to be seen of men. For they make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the chief place at the feast, and the chief seats in the synagogue, and the salutations in the marketplace, and to be called of men rabbi. But be you not called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and all of you are brethren. And call no man your father on the earth, for one is your father, your Ab, even he who is in heaven. And that's Yahweh. Neither be you called masters, for one is your master, even the Messiah. But he that is great among you shall be your servant. And whoever shall exalt himself shall be humbled. And whoever shall humble himself shall be exalted." The Hebrew month of Av, or Menachem Av, the consoler of Av, or the comfort, and that word Menachem in Hebrew means comfort or consoler, is the fifth of the 12 months of the Jewish calendar. The name Av literally means father. It's derived from the root, which means to will or to desire. It is the month of the low point of the Jewish calendar. The ninth of Av, the day of the sin of the spies that went in to spy the Holy Land, and the destruction of both the first and the second temples in Jerusalem, as well as the month of the high point of the Jewish calendar, and that's the 15th of Av. There are no happier days for Israel than the 15th of Av. And Yom HaKippurim, of course, we call it Yom Kippur, which is a day of fasting in the seventh month. Now, in the Mishnah, they have it Ta'anit, which is the day of finding one's soulmate. Now, again, the Jewish people see things a little different than the rest of the world. And it says, relative to all the souls in Israel, the soul of Mashiach, who comes to redeem Israel from her state of spiritual as well as physical exile, is like the groom to his bride. After his birth, and they have on the 9th of Av, he reveals himself to his bride, the betrothed, and betroths her on the 15th of Av. Now, they're saying that the born on the 9th of Av. Okay? And there may be some truth to it, but like I said, you have to look at some things, because the Jews themselves do not believe the Messiah has come. So we're looking at most of the Messianic Jews believe he was born, or worshipers believe he was born on trumpets, which is the first day of the seventh month, or the first day of Tabernacle, which is the 15th of the seventh month. This is some of the Jews believe this, but these are Messianic Jews, because the Orthodox Jews do not believe the Messiah has come. The lion is Aryeh, symbolizes the supernatural power of the divine will, meaning of the name Av, as mentioned above. The initial manifestation of Yahweh's will to destroy the temple was in truth purely for the sake of reconstructing the temple with all of its spiritual meaning and significance for Israel and the entire world for eternity. Now, I have some issues with some of how they view things, but I'm going to read this where it talks about in Jeremiah chapter 4:7. The words of our sages, and then they give the name, the lion. And who's referred to in the Bible as the lion. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, a lion has gone up from his thicket, and a destroyer of nations. He is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make your land desolate, that your cities be laid waste without inhabitants. For this, gird yourself with sackcloth, lament and wail, for the fierce anger of Yahweh has not turned back from us. And it shall come to pass at that day, says Yahweh, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princes and the priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. Then I said, ah, sovereign Yahweh, surely you have greatly deceived this people and Jerusalem, saying, you shall have peace, whereas the sword reaches to the life. Now, this lion that they are referring to is the tribe of Judah, okay? But Yahweh actually is the one that goes forth with his fierce anger in verse 8. And destroyed the temple, allowed Babylon and the Romans, the Gentiles, to come and destroy the temple. Because because the Jewish people trusted in the temple like a good.
The host has joined the conference.
Sorry about that. Got disconnected. But back to where we are in the text. You have to understand that the tribe of Judah represents the lion, and Yahweh is the one that is doing the destruction. He allowed, like I said, the Babylonians to come as well as the Romans. The Babylonians destroyed the first temple and the Romans the second. There will be a third temple that is going to be constructed. But the commentators are saying that this was done, that this was done to, of course, so that he could rebuild this temple even better and greater. And it really doesn't make a lot of sense when you look at the temple, and it destroyed their worship, the Jewish worship, because the worship that they had, they no longer offer sacrifices because they haven't accepted Yahshua. See? So they think even the sages, the rabbis now, still believe that they are in that covenant of circumcision. They have to practice, and they still do that to this day. But it's the circumcision of the heart that Yahweh wants. He doesn't want people, you know, he's saying circumcision doesn't do anything for him. It's the spiritual, not the physical. And your heart has to be circumcised to Yahweh. And if so, if that's the case, then you're going to be faithful to the covenant. You're going to yield to what Yahweh wants you to do. Now, in Zechariah chapter 7, so they see Av as being, it says, in the words of our sages, the lion. They have Nebuchadnezzar, who is referred to in the Bible as the lion, and they were saying that, came on the month of the lion, Av, and destroyed the lion, the temple, which is referred to in the Bible, especially with regard to the altar, as a lion, in order that the lion, Yahweh, whom is said, the lion roars, who shall not fear, in Amos 3. Which we should turn to first before we go into Zechariah chapter 7. Go to Amos chapter 3. Verse 4. It says, will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has taken nothing? And in verse 1, it says, hear this word that Yahweh has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up out of the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will visit upon you all your sins. all your iniquities. Shall two walk together except they have agreed, except they've entered into a covenant? And Yahweh had all of Israel say back in Deuteronomy and Exodus, when the giving of the law was done, in Exodus chapter 19, verse 8, and all the people answered together and said, all that Yahweh has spoken, we will do. We know what the commandments are. The question is, in this very, very important month, the month of Av, will we do his commandments? Are we going to keep the covenant? In Zechariah chapter 7, and it came to pass in the fourth year of King Darius that the word of Yahweh came to Zechariah in the fourth day of the ninth month. Zechariah means remembered of Yah. In the fourth day of the ninth month, even Kislev. Now they of Bethel had sent Sherezer and Regemmelech and their men to entreat the favor of Yahweh, and to speak to the priests of the house of Yahweh of hosts, and to the people, and to the prophets, saying, should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself as I have done these so many years? And the Jewish people do. They fast. They weep. But I believe it's more serious than that. It's more intense. Then came the word of Yahweh of hosts to me, saying, speak to all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and in the seventh month, even these 70 years, they were in captivity for 70 years, did you at all fast to me? Even to me. And when you eat and when you drink, do you not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Should you not hear the words which Yahweh cried by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity, and the cities of it all around her, and the south and the lowlands were inhabited? And the word of Yahweh came to Zechariah, saying, in this manner has Yahweh of hosts spoken, saying, execute true judgment, and show kindness and compassion every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the sojourner, nor the poor, and let none of you devise evil against his brother in his heart, which we know is from Leviticus 19. It's a statute from the Torah. But verse 11, it says, but they refused to listen and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they might not hear. Yes, they made their hearts an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which Yahweh of hosts had sent by his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore, there came great wrath from Yahweh of hosts. And it came to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they shall cry, and I will not hear, and said Yahweh of hosts. But I will scatter them with a whirlwind among all the nations which they have not known. In this manner, the land was desolate after them, so that no man passed through nor returned. For they laid the pleasant land desolate. And we saw how Nehemiah had went to the king, well, actually, the king saw his countenance in Nehemiah chapter 2. And when Nehemiah went back to build the temple, because the temple had been the temple had been destroyed by the Babylonians. And what happened in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "And I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's graves, sepulchres, lies waste, and the gates of it are consumed with fire? Then the king said to me, for what do you make requests? So I prayed to the Elohim of heaven, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you would send me to Judah, to the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And that the king said to me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall your journey be? And when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I sent him a time. And moreover, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may let me pass through till I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make the beams for the gates of the castle which pertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my Elohim upon me." So Nehemiah found favor in the sight of the king and received his blessing to go and build the temple, to rebuild it. Now, again, like I said, this is a very, very important month for the Jewish people. And it's a month of mourning, and they call it Menachem Av. Now, the period following Tish B'Av, which is the ninth, continuing through the month of Elul, is called the 7 weeks of comfort. Okay? The half Torah for each week during this period foretells of the glorious future of the Jewish people. Because of this, some Jews use the name Av through the Tish B'Av and afterwards use the name Menachem Av, representing the comforter of Av. In the synagogue service, the half-Torah readings from the Navim, which is the prophets, are usually connected with the Torah reading for each week. But beginning with the 3 weeks of sorrow until the fall high holy day, these readings change. First are 3 half-Torahs of punishment leading up to Tish B'Av, then the 7 of comfort for the 7 weeks unto, they call it Rosh Hashanah, but we call it trumpets. And finally, one of repentance on Shabbat Shuvah, the Sabbath before Yom Kippur. The last 2 portions of the book of Numbers, Matat and Maseh, are always read during the 3 weeks of sorrow. The sages say 3 readings were selected at this time to ultimately comfort us as we look forward to the appointing of the land, such as the ultimate fulfillment of Yahweh's promises to us. Indeed, the month of Av, despite the sorrow of the loss of the temple, is sometimes called Menachem Av, the comfort of the Father. One day, the lamentations of our present state of exile will come to an end. Now, they also read Lamentation. The Menachem Av may also mean the comfort of, they have Aleph Beis, which is Av, of, which is pronounced of, still, because they do it with a V. Sometimes the B's are pronounced as V's in Hebrew. The prophet Jeremiah, who witnessed the destruction of the temple, later wrote the Scroll of Lamentations to commemorate this tragic time. The form of Lamentations is an acrostic based on the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph, Beis, like the Psalm 25, 37, 34, 37, 119, and Proverbs 31, etc. The scroll has five sections per king, and the verses of the first two chapters and the last two chapters are all written in alphabetical order. The middle chapter, however, writes the verses using the triple Aleph Beis ordering. Aleph, 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 Beis, 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 Gimel, 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 and so on. As you can see, the very order of the Hebrew alphabet is part of the revelation of Yahweh to Israel himself. Now, again, this is a real sad time for the Jewish people. But for those of us who know the Messiah, who have seen the revelation of Yahshua the Messiah, who is the cornerstone of the spiritual temple, the temple is being rebuilt even today, because as we are revealing this word and bringing people to Yahshua, everyone that is baptized is added to that temple. See? We're not concerned about the physical rebuilding of the temple as the Jewish people are. We're concerned with the spiritual building of the temple, Yahweh's temple, his people, in these last days. Almighty Yahweh is trying to prepare a people for his second coming. So as the people of Yahweh are doing his will, trying to fulfill the Eliyah prophecy, we're going to see great things happen in these last days. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "Then they that feared Yahweh spoke with one another, and Yahweh listened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahweh and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, says Yahweh of hosts, even my own possession in the day that I make, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall you return to Teshuvah and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves Elohim and him that serves him not." It's pretty evident that this month of Av is sorrowful for the Hebrew people, for the Jewish people, because of their sin against the Savior, against Almighty Yahweh. But they have to return to Teshuvah. They have to come back to Yahweh. They have to acknowledge. And this is part of the problem. They do their half-Torah readings and their Torah readings, but they won't read Isaiah 53. They won't read a lot of the messianic prophecies, because Yahshua fulfilled each and every one of them. And we understand that they are blinded because they're following the doctrines of the rabbis who are telling them that they cannot use the name of Yahweh. But we know that the scripture says Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. And until the people are saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh, will Yahshua return. When people are saying this, Yahshua will return. But they won't say it if there's a ban against the name, and you can't use the name of Yahweh, whether it's in Israel or wherever. You'll find the Jewish people, you'll find that the rabbis have a ban. They don't want you using that name. But Yahshua kept them, as he said in the high priestly prayer in John 17, I have kept them in your name. But we know that we're going to overcome this world and that we are going to put forth the word and teach as we go into all nations according to what Yahshua had taught us and told us to do. We have to go forth and teach this to all nations, baptizing them in the name of Yahshua, the Messiah. May Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you as you seek to do Yahweh's will in this fifth month, as we're preparing to go and march to Zion to keep the covenant and be a part of the kingdom of Yahweh, which the Feast of Tabernacles represents. And if you'll humble your hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace, we'll have a closing prayer. Father Yahweh, we come before you at this time seeking a blessing from you, Father. We ask that your word would have free course in us and that it would bless us, that it would open our minds and our understanding, that we can have a better understanding of you and we can draw closer to you, Father. We need more of your spirit, which comes through reading your law and your word. Help us, Father. Help us to do that which is right in your sight at all times. And as we start month off, Father, let it be a blessing to each and every one of us. Help us, Father, to be faithful in all things. Help us become this world and Satan the devil. Help us to draw closer to you, Father, and help us to understand that this is a time of rejoicing. The number 5 is grace. And you've shown us and given us that grace, Father. Truly bless your servants. Be with us. Help us to do that which is right in your sight so that we can fulfill your word and your calling, because you've called us for your purpose, for your honor, and for your glory. So we thank you, Father, and ask that your will be done in our lives and that you would bless each one of us as we try our best to draw close to you. In Yahshua's holy name, we come speaking all his favors and blessings. Hallelujah.